is it that's holding you back from believing? You cannot really be fully involved in this mission unless you have a settled faith. Some people won't believe because something happened in their family. Some people won't believe because they want to enjoy some sinful pleasure. Perhaps there's somebody here like that. Right now, you have resisted believing. You have resisted coming to God. You have resisted giving Him everything you have because you are determined to enjoy some sinful pleasure. Do you know that some don't believe because they're angry with God? What is your issue?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age where many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, Pastor Brian Grant began a new series of messages on the book of the Acts. His first message was entitled, The Mission of the Church, and Pastor Grant took us through the opening verses of this marvelous and exciting book where, just prior to ascending in the clouds into heaven, Jesus defined for His disciples the mission to be carried out by the church in His absence. This week, Pastor Grant will conclude his message centering on the first chapter of Acts as Jesus tells His wondering disciples where the power and direction will come from that will enable the church to carry out that mission. Now, here's Pastor Grant.
In 1887, 22 years after the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln, his coffin was dug up and opened because there were rumors that his body was not in the grave. So they dug him up, opened the coffin, and guess what? He was there. But the rumors continued. And so 14 years later, guess what happened? They dug him up again. Opened up the coffin, and he was there. Both times, the witnesses testified that Lincoln was still in the grave. But 3 days after the death of Jesus, word began to spread that Jesus was not in the grave. But guess what? So far, they have not been able to find any witnesses that he is still in the grave. On the contrary, the Bible lets us to know there were several witnesses who could testify that they'd seen him alive. Because Jesus is alive. But what happened after the resurrection? I don't want you to miss this. Just before liftoff, Jesus told his disciples the mission of the church. And this morning, with the help of the Spirit of God, I want us to dig deeply because we cannot afford to miss this. What is the mission of the church? What was it that was so critical that just as he was about to lift off, Jesus says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses." Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. Here's what it says. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Could you read that with me? It says, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. ISIS is grabbing a hold of young people who are trying to find purpose. And for ISIS, the purpose is death and destruction. Young man, young lady, Jesus is calling you to a life of purpose. But his life of purpose is not death and destruction. It's life and hope. And I hope this morning that the Spirit of God will speak to some heart, perhaps a young person, an older person, who would say, God, I have not been active in sharing my faith, but God, you're helping me. I'm certainly going to. But second, not only the nature of the mission, but the power supporting the mission. When you're in battle, it's important to know you have good support behind you. I've never been a soldier, but I know a U.S. soldier has a $577 billion budget behind them, 13,800 aircraft, 473 ships, over 50,000 tanks and armored vehicles. Can you imagine? That's a lot of support. The greatest military support in history. But when God sends us to wage spiritual battle, he puts at our disposal the most powerful spiritual resource known to man. The power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8 he says, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And next week we're going to talk about the arrival, if you want to call it that. The arrival, because he was here. He was always here, but he came and left. But next week we're going to talk about the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The beginning of the church, if you please. You know, the Greek word for power is the word dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Dunamis. That's the Greek word for power, as used here in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It's the root word from which we get the English word dynamite. Some people feel inadequate to share their faith. They worry about the odds. How can little me do anything? Here is, whenever you feel that way, you realize why you're feeling that way. You're forgetting one important thing. You're forgetting that you have what? Dynamite! The believer in Jesus Christ has the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. And he can knock down any stronghold. My Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, here's what it tells us. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. Do you see that? We use what? God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. And what do we use God's mighty weapons to do? To what? To knock down strongholds. Somebody say amen. Amen. We can use God's mighty weapons to knock down every stronghold. The stronghold of human reasoning and the power to destroy false arguments, we destroy in the power of the Holy Spirit. Every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, we capture. The Word of God says their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Oh, aren't you glad for the power of the Holy Spirit? The power supporting our mission. The power of the Holy Spirit, dynamite. But third and final point, as I share two points under this. The requirements for the mission. I only want to take time to share two requirements for the mission. And the first one is in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29 is where we are. That poor Thomas. I have to say poor Thomas, because he's gone down in history as doubting Thomas. You can even get a definition, you know, in the dictionary. You can actually look up the word doubting Thomas. He even has his own expression, doubting Thomas. So how did he get the name? Like the other disciples, Thomas had hoped Jesus was going to build a kingdom. Don't think Thomas was the only one. They all thought Jesus was going to establish a kingdom. But instead, Jesus was arrested. He was killed. He was laid in a tomb. And as far as he was concerned, that was the end. In verse 19, Jesus appeared. Of that chapter 20, Jesus appeared to the disciples and showed them his hands and side. But Thomas was not there. And just as you saw in the video, he thought this was like an April Fool's joke. And he said he didn't want to be anyone's fool. So he said, unless I see, I will what? I will not believe. That's pretty strong. May I ask you, what's holding you back from believing? Thomas said, Unless I see, I will not believe. What is it that's holding you back from believing? You see, as I read this, I realized that one of the requirements for this mission is a settled faith. A settled faith. You cannot really be fully involved in this mission unless you have a settled faith. Some people won't believe because something happened in their family. Some people won't believe because they want to enjoy some sinful pleasure. Perhaps there's somebody here like that. Right now, you have resisted believing. You have resisted coming to God. You have resisted giving Him everything you have because you are determined to enjoy some sinful pleasure. Do you know that some don't believe because they're angry with God? What is your issue? What's preventing you from believing, from putting your full faith in God? You know, I've discovered over the years that even Christians struggle with doubts. Sometimes a young person or an older person, God is working on their heart, as the Spirit of God is working even now on some people's hearts, as to how involved are you going to be in the mission. And some people, you know, they struggle and they say, can I really trust Jesus? Can he really be trusted? Does he have all the power he claims to have? What's your doubt? What's your issue? Why is it that your faith is not anchored and rooted in Christ? Jesus knew that Thomas would not be able to carry out the mission with these doubts. And so he tenderly came to him. And today he's coming and he's knocking on your door. He's coming to you. And he's saying, listen, what's your issue? But don't miss what he said to Thomas. He said, Thomas, you have believed. Why? Because you have seen. Blessed are they who have what? Not seen, but yet have believed. I wonder if there's somebody here I'm talking to and you're not saved yet. You're not sure you're saved. And you're waiting till you've figured it all out. You're waiting till you have every question answered. I am not going to believe until I have every question answered. And Jesus is coming to you and he says, blessed are they who don't have it all figured out, but who will believe. Perhaps I'm talking to somebody who you're still in the middle of life's fog. There's stuff in your life that you wish were the case. And as a result of that, you're holding back. You have not put a settled faith in God. You have not anchored your faith in God. Jesus is coming to you and he's saying, if you're going to be really good for this mission, you've got to have a settled faith.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But then the second requirement resolved sin. And here we are in John's Gospel chapter 21. And you know this is the story of Peter. And in verse number 9 of John 21, when they landed, these guys were out fishing. Remember they were out fishing? And they hadn't caught anything, and Jesus told them what to do. And it says, when they had landed at verse 9, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you really love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So what's all this about? You remember what happened before the crucifixion? Do you remember what happened? Simon Peter said to Jesus what? He said, even if all the other disciples fall away, you can depend on me. Jesus, no matter what, you can depend. I will never disown you. But later that very night, Peter sat at a charcoal fire. Remember, we shared a message in that. There was a fire, a charcoal fire was right there that night. Peter sat at a charcoal fire and denied Jesus three times. And so the resurrected Christ meets Peter around another charcoal fire. Jesus is going to help Peter prepare for the mission. Peter would be ineffective unless he dealt with his sin and was assured he was restored. And I want you to know, my friend, if you are going to be effective in this mission, you must have resolved the sin. If there is sin, it has to be dealt with. And you've got to be in the point of your life where not only you have dealt with your sin, but you're satisfied that you have received the forgiveness and the restoration of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Peter, Jesus was not going to allow Peter to sweep this thing under the rug. Do you know that Christians sometimes do that? We have some stuff. And guess what we do? We sweep it under the rug. Oh, we got some bad habits. Oh, you know, you're in that line for the lottery and you just hope nobody comes and passes by while you're just trying to get that number. And so you got it and you hope nobody catches you down at Atlantic City around the roulette table. But instead of dealing with it, you just sweep it under the rug. What have you been trying to sweep under the rug? Jesus is saying, I have commissioned you. I have a mission for you. And you will not be able to carry out the mission until you resolve sin. So Jesus first asks Simon, do you love me more than these? As he points to all the other disciples, he says, do you really love me more than these? Because remember, Simon claimed, hey, all them others might say denied you, but not me. You know, sometimes we better It's a good thing to come humbly before God. The Bible says, let him that stand think he stands, take heed lest he fall. Don't ever feel you're better than somebody else. And may God help us, those of us who are leaders in this church, might we never ever think we are more spiritual than somebody else and we are beyond anything. But just by the grace of God, that's what keeps us going. The grace of God. So my friend, Jesus comes to him and he says a second time, Simon, do you love me? And there's a whole lot we could go off and talk about, but that's not the burden of what I want to bring to your attention. The third time Jesus asks Peter, he says, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? And the NIV says Peter was hurt. But the word that's used is a word that's much more than being hurt. The word means Peter was grieved. It touched him in the deep recesses of his soul. Because guess what? When Jesus came around that charcoal fire and asked him the third time, do you love me, Simon Peter, knew exactly what was going on. And he who had denied Jesus three times, Jesus was taking his scalpel and he was gently cutting him. And he was saying, Peter, you need an operation. And Jesus has come to your house this morning, and he has come to my house, and by his Spirit, he's cutting us, and he's showing you, and he's showing me some stuff that we probably have swept under the rug. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to get busy, if you're going to be effective in this mission, you've got to deal with this. You know where it starts? I'm wrapping up, don't worry. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. Aren't you thanking God for that verse? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It starts there. You know, some of us, after we do that though, there's some of us who need to talk to somebody else because there's some stuff. You know, not sometimes we get the impression that the only thing you need to do about your sin is talk to God. But depending on the type of sin it is, it says we must confess our faults one to another that we might be healed. Sometimes we do stuff that has hurt somebody else. And if you're so proud that you refuse to go to that person, don't think you got God's forgiveness. And God is saying, whatever the sin is, whether it's like sin against somebody else, he's saying, are you going to deal with it? The requirements for service, a settled faith, resolved sin. Are you going to deal with it?
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.